to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can send us questions anytime at udocs@gmail.com. We've already given away the book that we said for this show, but it is a wonderful book. It is The Eye Rules, and Janelle Burley, B-U-R-L-E-Y, Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N-N. That's her website. You can also read her on the Huffington Post or, of course, at RodaleBooks.com. This book is called The Eye Rules. I am going to get it for my son, who is a pediatrician, and my wife, who's a pediatrician. It is a brilliant book and teaches you all about it, but it's also good for us adults. This was a question. If you take away the phones at 9 p.m. at night and put them all in a central place, how do you know when you get an emergency call? How do you know when they get an emergency call? What do you do about phones? Do you have a landline? We've already gotten rid of our landline. What should we do is the question.
I think this is a great question, and it tends to be the question of our time in that we're all trying to navigate this. We're figuring out what works for our family, what's normal, what's typical for today. So I think what's really important is we're talking about kids that still live in our home. So we're assuming, you know, under 18, not away at college. So we're still the teachers here. And one of the most important things that I've heard pediatricians talk on it, and I've certainly read plenty of research talking about protecting sleep, especially in the developing brain, especially in the adolescent brain, that one of the greatest impacts right now is that the disrupted sleep from technology is impacting the health and well-being of our youth. And so if we can do our best to protect that, and a very simple house rule for that is to leave all of the technology out of the bedroom at night. Because as we know as adults, it's just too tempting. Even if we turn it to do not disturb, we might roll over in the night or get up to use the bathroom, and we find ourselves checking an email, checking text, seeing if anybody gave us a social networking notification. It's hard to resist. And so when we make it not an option, it's just easy. And for me, this is very easy. I had 5 children in 8 years, and I really am a fan of protecting sleep, I think because I lost so much sleep during those years, that I really like when my house shuts down for everybody to preserve their sleep. And so I do keep, I still have my landline for emergencies, and I honestly, you know, my close family has that, and I don't think that my teenage son, who's entering high school, would get an emergency call that wouldn't filter through me first. So I feel like I'm there as a catch-all for the overnight call, should it happen. And for us, that's just something that works. We kind of all abide by that, and it's not even a struggle. It's a known house rule that we agree to.
So you turn your cell phone off at night and just live with the landline.
Sure. And then there's certainly times a few weeks ago I had a family member in the hospital, so I kept my phone by my bed so that if I did need a notification and someone just used my cell number and not my landline. So there are times that I certainly keep it with me if I should know there's a heightened level of awareness or a situation that's different than normal. But for the most part, that's what I do. We kind of all just unplug at night. And I really like for everyone to not use the technology at least an hour prior to going to bed as well. So we can all have that sense of being off, of being away, because this is something that's becoming increasingly more of a challenge in our culture, is to have space away from being on, whether it's work or friends or peers. We're always connected. So it's something we can learn to practice and really cultivate in our own homes.
So you've heard a definitive answer. Obviously, for us physicians, we have a lot of physicians, and one of them wrote in that my patients who are in need of emergency care often have my cell phone. So obviously this doesn't pertain to that group or those people who need their phones for emergencies, just as you did when someone was in the hospital. But it does pertain in general, and I really like that idea of putting the cell phones in a very different central place that is, and turning them off, if you will, and turning them on vibrate or something, so you can't hear them, but they're far enough away from all the bedrooms that they won't disturb you with tweeting, etc. Janelle, thank you very much. This is, the book is called The Eye Rules, I-R-L-R-U-L-E-S, Eye Rules, What Every Tech Healthy Family Needs to Know About Selfies, Sexting, Gaming, and Growing Up. If you've just been listening to the second hour, pick up the first hour, go to the archives at RadioMD.com, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can get all the archives back 11 or 12 years, whatever it is, but this one is important, so get the first hour of today's show if you haven't heard it. Janelle Burley Hoffman, and more importantly, pick up the book. It's a great book, The Eye Rules. Fast read, rodalebooks.com. I hope she will, I can convince the producers of The Oz Show to have her on, because this is a wonderful topic for all of us in America, The Eye Rules. Thanks very much, Janelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And now we've got another top medical news story of the week. Coming up this half hour, we have Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not. He's got some really great stories, one of which is about the turtles becoming the turtles with the water supply being BPA or BPS, male turtles turning into female or producing female organs from the eggs, as well as stories about what's happening in for lead in ammunition, and why are we getting more lead ammunition, if you will, and what we're going to do about that from a standpoint of will this cause more lead toxicity. Here's a number of other stories, and I'm going to try and get them. So Spokane has banned neonatic pesticides to save bees from, I assume, colony collapse disorder. Down on the farm, pig virus drives up pork prices and creates an environmental concern. And famous Hollywood Mountain lion poisoned by rat poisoning. Not that you have a Hollywood lion, but what you do with your cats and dogs with rat poison, and whether that's going to be a problem for you. All from Gary Ginsberg, coming up in just a few minutes at 17 past the hour, 20 past the hour, actually, when we come back from break. Now, Bridget, what's your two favorite stories of the week?
Hi. My first favorite has to do with nutrition, of course, and it pertains to the Center for Science and the Public Interest, who just released a report this past week on the sodium content of 136 meals from 17 top restaurant chains, and they concluded that there's only been a 6% reduction of sodium in fast food menus over the past 4 years, and they looked at specific chains and found that Subway, McDonald's, and Burger King were the three that had reduced sodium. Subway had reduced sodium by 30% from 2009 across their entire menu by cutting sodium in the bread in their deli meats. And the three chains that actually increased sodium over the past 4 years in their menus were KFC, Jack in the Box, and Red Lobster. So the report highlights the importance of reducing sodium consumption in the American diet, because we know that it increases risk of high blood pressure, heart attacks, stroke, and kidney disease. So hopefully the restaurants in the future will continue to reduce the sodium.
And you know, I have a conflict with this, because I don't think we've demonstrated that reducing sodium, except in salt-sensitive hypertension people, which is 0.5% of the public, is really important. So we've shown in that 0.5% that reducing sodium is important, and you know that by, if you restrict your sodium and your blood pressure goes way down from high level to normal level, so it's only people with hypertension. Now, for everyone else, it raises it a little bit, but not very much and not enough to worry about it. So I have a different point of view. When we come back, Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not? And then we'll find out Bridget's other top news story of the week, which really is a sensational story about sleep and brain power. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can always send us emails and questions, udocs, UDOCS, @gmail.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news! Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is my favorite section of the show, which is having Gary Ginsberg tell us what's toxic and what's not. Now, Gary, there's something in Spokane that's called specially, in fact, that they're doing specially relating to bees. What is it, and why should the rest of us know about it?
Yeah, hey, Mike. You know, we've talked on the show before about CCD, or colony collapse disorder, the thing that's worrying farmers around the globe and should be worrying all consumers because, you know, when the honeybee population plummets the way it has over the last 10 years and science doesn't have an answer, then you're going to get towns like Spokane, Washington doing what they're doing, which is based upon some information about how these pesticides, it's a relatively new kind of pesticide that kills things that eat plants, that kills insects, the neonicotinoids. Based upon the nicotine structure, and when the honeybees get it, you know, experiment after experiment shows that when these chemicals get inside of honeybees, it confuses them. They can't find their way back to the hive. They have trouble locating the nectar and bringing it back. And so you might get colony abandonment. And so Europe actually has put a 2-year moratorium on using the neonicotinoids, or the neonics as we call them. And they weren't sure that that's the problem with the bees, so they took 2 years off from the neonicotinoids and doing a lot of survey work out in the field to see if, that's the answer. Well, known about a year whether that made the big difference in Europe. And Spokane, Washington, Eugene, Oregon, those are the first two cities in the United States that have said no to neonicotinoids, hoping that that is an answer for the local growers and getting the bee populations back up. So it's kind of a precedent, and I just wanted to get that out there, that people are trying to figure
this out. Now, Gary, how many cities have this problem? Isn't this a countrywide ban and will countrywide problem? And will like two cities doing something about it to help colony collapse disorder? Or are those cities to the headquarters of beekeepers?
Yeah, well, you know, the bee populations are always regenerating, and beekeepers keep trying at it. So if the local beekeepers in Spokane get a break from the neonicotinoids, the hope is that the local farmers will be doing better and maybe even get a competitive advantage over farmers elsewhere. So it is, this is one of those local is global kind of issues, and if you start small, it could set up a ripple effect if farmers see a benefit. So it's being tried there. You know, there's a lot of big, you know, company pesticide pressure, and some of the growers like the neonicotinoids. So, you know, it's not a simple matter of just let's save the bees. It's a matter of let's be sure we know what we're doing before we do this national.
But bees, like 50% or 60% of the bees, the colonies have collapsed, and they're essential for almonds and walnuts and a whole bunch of other fruit and vegetables, right?
Absolutely. Blueberries, all sorts of vegetables that we get on our table. A lot of California depends upon it. It's being taken very seriously on the West Coast. And it's so interesting to see two West Coast cities ban the neonicotinoids. I think neonicotinoids are huge in California, and it may be hard for them to, you know, just ban it until... I think there's a wait-and-see attitude in some places to see if banning them will make a big difference with the bee populations. One theory is that the neonicotinoids make them more susceptible to viruses and parasites that are known to also knock down bee populations. So it might be part of the problem, but not the whole problem. But anyway, we're all, you know, really hoping that the bees come back because this affects our marketplace. And, of course, we, you know, honeybees are kind of cool little creatures that are doing their thing for us.
Next, let's talk about the new bill that would allow hunters to use more lead, which gets us more lead in our food.
No, not in our food so much. This is a huge ecological issue, and more lead in the food of hunters, actually. So, there are folks that would like to get government out of all sorts of things, including hunting, but this is one of these places where government intervention has made a big difference to the environment. Getting rid of lead shot out of bullets that are used by hunters going after fowl, ducks and geese, hunting those with lead shot was a nightmare for the the birds that weren't getting shot by the bullets, because all the missed shots, and 5 out of 6 are misses, they land in waterways, and the birds take up the lead shot that are in the waterways. They put it in their gizzards. They masticate on it to grind up their food, to grind up their diet. They normally pick up pebbles, but they also pick up bullets. If that is a lead bullet, that's going to poison them, poison the population. We recognize that in 1990. EPA passed regulations banning lead shot from aquatic hunting environments. And yet now there's the sportsman's bill that's in the Senate that would allow lead shot back into those kinds of environments. And, you know, there's a movement in the opposite direction to get rid of lead shot altogether. You can have steel bullets, copper bullets that'll be much more environmentally benign. So this is sort of a pushback against that movement. You know, they're a little bit more expensive to shoot non-lead bullets. Hunters are used to lead bullets and what they do. So it's a rerunning thing. But the environmental consequences of lead are huge, because if you kill a deer with a lead bullet and you leave half the carcass behind, the entrails are normally left in the woods, and you just see on top of the car, you know, the rest of the deer. But a lot is left behind in the woods. It's contaminated with lead. You got raptors eating that, and lead poisoning in wildlife from hunters. You know, the peripheral damage is the non-target gain. There's a lot of environmental damage there from lead bullets, not just in waterfowl, but also in all sorts of wildlife. So getting lead out of bullets would be much better than this bill in the Senate, which would allow more lead.
California has a rat poison problem. A big, famous Hollywood mountain lion was killed by it. What do we do about normal cats and doggies?
Yes, this is the famous, on the cover of National Geo recently. The Hollywood sign had a mountain lion standing next to it. Quite candidly, was captured. It became a national iconic picture. And yet that mountain lion, that very mountain lion, is sickened from rat poison. And why is there so much rat poison in California, in the park where this mountain lion lives? And that's because of a couple of factors. But the Park Service out there tries to cover grounds, tries to control or suppress the ground squirrel population because of all the damage that ground squirrels can do to agriculture and due to various pipelines and electrical equipment. So the ground squirrel population has been controlled by rat poison, including the newer, higher potency, second-tier rat poisons that are out there now. And when the wildlife, like the mountain lions, eat poisoned squirrels, it goes right up the food chain, they get poisoned. So that's what we think is going on with PS22, which is the name they gave, the tagged name they gave to that mountain lion. It's not dead, Mike. It has been given doses of vitamin K to build up its clotting factors again, so it's not hemorrhaging all the time. But, you know, there are some sickened wildlife. This is the poster child. It's just the tip of the iceberg for what happens when you have wildlife and suburbs and farming near each other. Some of the pesticides we use get into some of the critters we you know, we like to think are still out there and still in the wild. So less of these really toxic pesticides to control the squirrel population is what California's thinking about.
And next week, when we come back, we're going to do Down on the Farm, what's happening to a pig virus that's driving up pork prices as well as creating environmental concerns. But that's not this week, that's next week. If you want to learn more about Gary Ginsberg, go to his website, whatstoxic.com. Gary Ginsberg, thank you very much. Great segment again, one I learned tremendous amount with. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You can ask us questions, ask us about things you want to learn about, or call 877-711-5211.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff,
like immunizations and protecting my baby's health? I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You are listening to, if you will, the You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can ask us questions on the email line at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, or call in 877, it's toll-free, 877-711-5211. Ask that great engineer, Sonar, to put you on the air, and we will put you on the air, 877-711-5211. We had a lot of great questions about the book, The Eye Rules. So we will have Dr. She's not a doctor. She's just a common sense person. Janelle Burley Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N-N, and the book is called The Eye Rules. It's a great book, but we have so many questions about it on the email line that we'll have her back again. She even stayed over this time to talk about adult questions like, How do you put them all the phones away, and how do you get good sleep with phones? Which brings up the question that, if you will, or the story that Bridget was saying is one of her two favorites, maybe her favorite, because it's also a favorite of mine as well, which is the story about sleep and brain function. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I loved this research study that just came out this past week, because I feel like the first thing that everyone sacrifices when they don't have enough time in their day is sleep. And it actually is one of the most important things in terms of your overall health and weight loss and your general well-being. So the research study was conducted in older adults who were about 67 years old on average. And they found that less sleep was associated with brain shrinkage and cognitive decline. So they had the participants undergo neuropsychological testing, and then they also had MRI scans at the beginning of the study, and again after 18 to 24 months. And the researchers found that the people who reported sleeping shorter at night had a slightly faster cognitive decline. The rate was small, about 0.5%, but that was only after 18 to 24 months. So the researchers are going to follow up for 4 more years and are expecting to find an even greater cognitive decline, of higher rate. And the researchers noted that while the study was conducted in the elderly, that the findings can definitely be applied to younger adults who want to preserve cognitive function as they're aging, and sleeping at least 7 hours a night is an ideal way to increase cognitive function.
So 7 hours was the key. This was in 66 adults with an average age of 67. Now, we had another study earlier this year that also correlated with that, that said waste, in other words, what happens as you sleep longer. Apparently, the longer periods of sleep, your brain shrinks a little bit, that water shrinks out of it. That opens up the spaces between cells, so you get rid of waste more. We do this with lymph flow in the rest of the body. That is, lymph flow takes waste out of the periphery, brings it back to the central part where you shovel it off to your kidneys and pee it out in the morning. Well, apparently you do the same thing with waste in your brain. That is, all those proteins and all the poop that your brain cells put out. Yeah, brain cells put out waste products called poop too. That poop stays around your brain if you don't sleep a long time. And then you get inflammation, and that's what causes brain size loss and memory dysfunction and Alzheimer's. So what was good is the longer you sleep in a relatively required period of time, they only looked at 7 to 8 hours, the more you got rid of the brain poop by this mechanism of, if you will, brain lymphatic flow, or flow away from the brain back to the central circulation where it can take it out through your kidneys. So we know of a mechanism that is getting rid of waste products, and now we have a clinical study that shows that it's the same thing, that is, that you need 7 hours of sleep, or at least more than 6.5 hours of sleep, to be able to get rid of your brain poop. 5.5 hours, you don't get rid of it, and you got cognitive and size decline in your hippocampus, which is the memory center of your brain. We also have a story this week on what increases hippocampal size. And that, of course, you know, because we've had several stories about it before, but this one was in Parkinson's patients. What increases it is intense exercise. So you get a do-over. And the amazing thing is, intense exercise not only increased brain size in Parkinson's syndrome, but it helped with your vision. That is, the vision of people, you can lose vision, and especially in one eye, it's called lazy eye, and they have a mouse model of this. And in mice, when they had to do intense exercise, running fast, they regained that vision much better than doing anything else they had ever tested. So it was because they felt the mice had to look at the scenery quickly as they were running that they developed more, they restored their eye function and their vision. So maybe when you develop this intense exercise and release what we call brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, it's like Miracle-Gro for your brain. When you release this with intense exercise, it helps not only build your memory, but maybe some of your other senses back. So intense exercise may be the best exercise for your brain. Now, I had a favorite one as well, and I'm going to talk about that one. Do we have enough time? Yeah, we do, I think, and you can cut me short, Sonar, if we don't. But this is incorporation of modified bacteria into gut microbiota inhibits obesity. You're saying, what is this all about? Well, metabolic disorders, including obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, are clearly widespread. We learned today that 70% of people under the age of 65 in America have one of those. Well, gut microbiota, that's the bacteria inside you. You have 10 trillion of them, as many as your own cells, is a contributing factor of susceptibility of us individuals to development of these disorders. Therefore, the postulate was from this pharmaceutical company, and this is actually from the Department of Pharmacology, this is a non-commercial, this is a university at Vanderbilt University. They said, what about modifying the bacteria, for example, giving them different bacteria that produce different things? And they did this with drinking water for 8 hours, drinking different bacteria for mice. And they were able to, in these mice that were getting fat, by feeding them different bacteria, essentially giving the mice a specific probiotic, that over an 8-week period, they were able to reduce their weight back to normal. Then they stopped it, and the effect lasted for about 4 weeks after giving the probiotic. So they gave it for 8 weeks. It lasted for 12 weeks. And then the mice got fat again. They gave them the bacteria again, and they got thin. So it's a reason you're going to see a lot of work on probiotics modifying human disease, everything from depression to obesity to diabetes. I'm going to bet this is going to be one of the hot pharmaceutical and pharmacologic areas of research, and we're going to see different probiotics for different diseases, I'll bet, in the next 10 years. This is a tremendous area of research and of research interest, and it isn't just being done in universities. There are pharmaceutical companies that are doing it in major ways. When we come back from the... Do we have enough time, Sonar, to do another story now? 60 seconds. Well, I'll do a quick one. Another story. This is sunbathing is like drug addiction. That is, why do people still tan when they know it can cause cancer? And the answer is, apparently, this vitamin D or something you get from sunbathing releases endorphins and acts like an addictive drug. That is, the endorphin release from sunbathing may give you this endorphin release, which causes the addiction, and it's just like sleep or anything else, if you will, salty foods, sugar, etc., causes this release and gives you an addictive high. So maybe it is, we have to look at it as an addiction that we treat that way. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the top medical news stories of the week, plus much more on RadioMD.com. Stay well. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can always get us on RadioMD.com. Find the archives all the way back for, I think it's 13 years of shows at RadioMD.com. So you miss a show, you can find 13 years of shows. Next week, I really miss Joe. Joe Gluski's not here this week, but he'll be back next week, as I hope you will be. Sonar will be, and so will Bridget. Now, by the way, the top story this week, I'm going to just repeat it because it's such an important article. You do get a do-over. This is people, 198 of them, who presented to Dr. Esselstyn to his clinic. They signed up. He's at the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute. They signed up for a course, 5-hour course. They and their spouse came to Cleveland if they weren't there. You can get it online now, and your doctor can even get it online to find out what he does in that 5-hour course. But in any case, 198 consecutive patients, he followed them for as long as they've been alive. That the average of that was 3.7 years. They've still been alive. He's still following them all, obviously. But 3.7 years is how long they had followed. 177 were able to stay with a plant-based diet. That's 89% had nothing with a mother or a face or added oils for 3.7 years. And only one of the 177, these are people who presented with angina with chest pain, indicating they needed heart surgery or stents. Their doctors had advised them almost invariably to have heart surgery or stents. Instead, they went with the SE diet. 177, 176 without an event over the 3.7 years. One had an event, a stroke. In the control group, that is the 22 people who weren't able to stay with the diet, or 21, 12 had events, 62%. That's common. If you come to a doctor with chest pain, angina, or coronary artery disease and need a problem, or say you've got a problem, then a lot of the patients will, in fact, have an event over those next 3.7 years. More than 20% will have an event in the story. And in fact, it is common to be as high as 60 to 80%. One out of 177, less than 1%, 0.6%, had a problem. So you can stay with this diet. You can get a do-over if you go to a plant-based, nothing, eat nothing with a face or a mother or added oils. You can do that. I think for most of us who don't have coronary disease yet, you can add ocean trout and salmon to that, as well as the omega-3 and omega-7 oils in cooking, and have great time with it. In any case, that was my top medical story of the week, and we went through Bridget as well, but now Bridget's got another one. Are you going to do chocolate or something else, Bridget?
Yeah, I'm going to do dark chocolate. So one of my other favorite stories of the week was about dark chocolate consumption and easing walking for patients that have peripheral artery disease. So the researchers looked at 20 adults who were in their late 60s and had peripheral artery disease, and they found that they were able to walk a little longer after eating dark chocolate compared to milk chocolate. So we know that dark chocolate, in order to get the benefits, is anything over 70% cocoa. And so these participants, they walked on the treadmill for as long as they possibly could for the first round. Then half ate milk chocolate and half had dark chocolate with over 70% cocoa. And they found that the people that had the dark chocolate were able to walk for about 17 seconds longer for the second treadmill test, and 39 feet further, and the group that had the milk chocolate had no change in their second treadmill test compared to the first. So the researchers are assuming that the benefits are coming from the polyphenols that are the compounds in the dark chocolate, but it's hard to tell whether that is the only determinant of the outcome. So what is important to take away from it is that dark chocolate is a good thing to include in your diet in small amounts, and that it could potentially help with the increasing blood flow in participants with peripheral artery disease.
So this is chocolate. It seems to restore or keep endothelial function. That is, your artery produces nitric oxide. Chocolate seems to add to that production of nitric oxide by your polyphenols. That helps dilate your arteries a little bit, get a little more blood through, and decrease the claudication, peripheral artery disease, as you have pain, especially in your calves when you're walking. And so walking is limited by the amount of pain you have, and this allowed the blood flow to increase a little bit, so you got a few more steps. The keys, though, again, it is one of the things I said about first, the SE diet, nothing with a face or a mother, no added oils, so dark chocolate, I suppose, could fit that criteria, and you get a little extra benefit from it. So that can be on the SE diet, I think. We'll have to talk to SE about that. Dr. Esselstyn, who is at the Cleveland Clinic and published this paper that I think is the key. If you get a do-over this week, where 198 people stayed on this plant-based diet, and 177 were able to stay on it for 3.7 years, at least that's the time of follow-up of these patients. Now, this is a controversial one that I thought we should cover. Your doctor is making it her business to know all about your buying habits. And controversial, you can email us about this one, and we'll talk about it further, and we'll give you your emails on it. But this is, you may get a call from your doctor if you let your gym membership lapse. Make a habit of picking up candy bars at the checkout counter or begin shopping at plus-size stores. scores. That's because some hospitals are starting to use detailed consumer data to create profiles on current and potential patients to identify those most likely to get sick so the hospitals can intervene before they do. Information compiled by data brokers from public records and credit card transactions can reveal where you shop, the food you buy, and whether you smoke. So the largest hospital chain in the Carolinas hospital chain, is plugging data for 2 million people into algorithms designed to identify high-risk patients. Doesn't mean they won't care for them, but it means they email them, their docs email them, and say, you should do other things. What do you think about this, Bridget?
I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I think that it is a great step in the right direction of helping people to get healthier.
Well, I think maybe if people agree to it, that's okay. But I think this is an invasion of privacy, and I'm kind of against it. But Sonar, what do you think about it? I'm going to ask our engineer. If you want to weigh in on it, by the way, just send us an email at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, and say, it's okay with me if the hospital purchases my credit card information to know what I'm doing and emails me when I need help, or it isn't okay, that's an invasion of privacy. Send us your emails at udocs, and I'll tell you what the results are. Sonar, what would you do?
Sometimes you need a little help.
So sometimes you need a little help. Is it okay for your hospital to purchase your credit card information and email you if you need a little help?
Possibly, if you sign up for it. I don't think they should do it just off the bat.
Yeah, I agree.
So we got 2 sign-ups for it, and maybe 3. 3 of us agree to that, and maybe we should all have a sign-up program for that with our coaching. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Health Radio, on RadioMD.com. Sorry, RadioMD.com. Stay well all the time.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of 2. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.